The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Faith alone in Jesus for everlasting life. What does that mean? How do we know that Jesus guarantees everlasting life to all who believe? Those are a couple of questions we will be thinking about today with Bob Wilkin and David Renfro. Thank you for joining us on Grace in Focus. This is the podcast and broadcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. By the way, the Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary that will be free for all who maintain at least a B average. You can earn an MDiv degree. For more information, application, or registration, go to the seminary's website, gesseminary.org. Everything you need is right there, gesseminary.org. I'll repeat this at the end of today's discussion, which starts right now. Now here is David Renfro and Bob Wilkin.
David, I've got a question from BH. BH says, I am convinced that a tiny bit of faith alone saves, yet I am also convinced we must confess our sins in order to be saved, and I'm convinced of multiple things at once. I believe I must be fully convinced of whatever the right gospel is in order to be saved, but I do not know what that even is. This person says they're having panic attacks over this issue. I need help. And the final question is, do I have to be fully convinced of faith alone in order to be saved? Well, the answer to that last part is yes. But fully convinced is a little bit oxymoronic. It's a little bit wise folly because you're either convinced or you're not. There's no such thing as fully convinced.
Yeah, or kind of convinced.
Kind of convinced, you know. You're either convinced or you're not convinced. So let's drop the fully. Do you need to be persuaded? Do you need to be convinced? The answer is yes. Do you need to be convinced of the faith alone message? Of course. John 3:16. God sent his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. But the question is, faith alone in what? You see, that's what BH doesn't yet get. Mm-hmm. Of course, BH is also thinking that he must confess his sins and other things, and so there's a lot of confusion here. What I would suggest, one of the mottos we used over the years is faith alone in Christ alone.
Right.
It's not faith alone, let's say, in Jesus being born in Bethlehem, or faith alone in Jesus dying on the cross for my sins,
right,
or faith alone in Jesus' death and resurrection. Although those things are true, they don't give me assurance of my eternal destiny, because there's no promise in the Bible that says if I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, then I have eternal life.
Right.
Or if I believe he rose from the dead, I have eternal life. The promise is that the one who simply believes in Jesus has everlasting life. That's John 3:16. Previous show, you mentioned John 6:47. Mm-hmm. He who believes in me has everlasting life.
Right.
We talked about John 11:25-27. But, you know, Paul's answer to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, Acts 16:31. Or Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Over 100, I have a book called 100 Faith Alone Verses in the Bible, mm-hmm. and there's over 100 such verses. And so what I would suggest to BH is, you've got this confusion and it's not coming from God. We often like to say that Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead proves John 3:16 is true. It proves mm-hmm. that the promise of everlasting life is true. It proves his guarantee that the one who believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. Mm-hmm. And so what I would suggest to BH is pray about this and read the Gospel of John. As far as the anxiety that he's experiencing, that anxiety will go away when God clears this up for him. Mm-hmm. It's really a simple matter. It's not complicated. It's not complex. And as we talked in a previous show, part of the problem is there's a lot of preachers and teachers that are confusing. And from the rest of the email, which I didn't read, it's pretty clear that BH is reading lots of things, mm-hmm. lots of books, lots of online articles, listening to lots of podcasts, looking at lots of YouTube videos and things. I would suggest to be careful because there's a lot of false teaching out there. I can hear somebody listening. How do we know that you're not a false teacher? Right. Well, that's right. The way you know that is by praying about this and studying the Word of God. Acts 17:11 says the Bereans were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things are so. So be a Berean. Pray about it. Search the Scriptures. But the key place to start is the Gospel of John, because it's so simple. Even a child can understand it.
And it was written for the specific purpose. Remember John 20?
Yeah, 30 and 31.
30, yeah, that he wrote his gospel for the specific reason to show us what needs to be done in order for us to receive everlasting life. You know, I said this earlier. There are so many examples of the human pollution of the simple presentation of the gospel. And I just think, number one, what does the Bible say? Going to the Gospel of John is definitely the way to start. And it's so easy because people have done this. They confuse what needs to be believed in order to be saved with, oh, this is the reason you need to believe Jesus. You know, like he died on the cross, he rose from the grave. Those are the reasons why we can believe in him for everlasting. I don't have to believe that. That's not part of the content of saving faith. But it's the reason I do believe that he can give me everlasting life. That's to me, that's the essence of what it takes to receive everlasting life. Can Jesus of Nazareth give me that? Yes or no?
Yeah.
It's a simple yes or no question based on especially the John 11 passage. And everything else is, I call, human pollution.
Yeah, I like your human pollution, because the sad business is lots of Protestant preachers or Catholic priests or Orthodox priests are proclaiming a faith plus works message.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pollution message. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, he says, who has bewitched you?
Yeah.
You know, you started out by faith alone, and now you've got false teachers coming in teaching a faith plus works message, and they lost their assurance. And for those who've never had assurance, well, the key is pray about it, read the Gospel of John, right, and you'll gain that assurance. For those who've had it and lost it, the way to get it back is the same way.
Right.
Just get rid of the human pollution. So, yeah, I appreciate your question, BH, and I hope you've helped a lot of people with your question. Now, David, I think you've got a few short questions there. We've got a few minutes left. Do you have one we could tackle?
Yeah, I've got one from LL.
LL Bean.
I love their clothes.
Yeah.
No, LL says, what do they mean when they say that the work on the cross makes everyone salvageable? Could no one be saved from hell without the cross?
Okay, let's do the second question first. Could no one be saved without the work on the cross? Is that the question?
Can no one be saved from hell without the cross?
And the answer is yes. No one can be saved apart the work of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Without the work of the cross, we're all doomed. There's no salvation apart from the shed blood of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And there's lots of verses that say this. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. 1 John 2:2, he's the propitiation or satisfaction, not only for our sins, but for those of the whole world. Those are verses that say Jesus makes us, I think it's interesting, LL uses the word salvageable.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a roundabout way of saying savable. And yes, we are savable because of the shed blood of Christ, but we're not automatically saved because of the shed blood of Christ. Because a person can be savable and yet not believe in the free gift of everlasting life.
What makes them saved?
Right. What makes them saved is faith in Christ.
Right.
What makes them savable is the substitutionary death of Christ on the cross and his subsequent resurrection from the dead.
Right. And so, once again, that points us to the real requirement in order to receive everlasting life, right? Believe that he can give you everlasting life. And the reason you can do that is because of what he did on the cross.
Exactly. I've never met a person who believed in Jesus for the free gift of everlasting life who didn't also believe that he died and rose again. Now, that's clearly possible because the apostles believed in him for the free gift of everlasting life before they believed he was going to die on the cross.
Right.
In fact, in Matthew 16, Peter rebukes Jesus for saying he's going to the cross. Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," even though Peter was already a born-again man. A person is not born again by believing he died and rose again. They're born again by believing that he guarantees them everlasting life that can never be lost simply by faith in him.
Believing that he can do it.
Yeah, and whatever it takes to get there.
Right.
Whether it's belief in his death and resurrection, believing he was born in Bethlehem according to the Old Testament prophecies, believing he was born of a virgin, believing he did all these miracles, that he raised Lazarus from the dead, mm-hmm. that he walked on water. Any of the signs in John's gospel should lead us to faith in Christ.
Well, to me, those are facts that you said sometimes that the word believe or the Greek word can be persuaded.
Yes.
You know, how are you persuaded? You're persuaded by facts.
Yeah, the evidence persuades you.
And to me, dying on the cross, physically resurrecting from the dead, all of those things are facts that lead me to believe that Jesus can, after all, guarantee me everlasting life.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, David, and thank you all for listening in, and keep grace in focus.
The Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary where you can take specific classes or earn an MDiv degree. Go to the seminary's website, gesseminary.org. If you're interested, we need to hear from you soon. For information or to register, go to gesseminary.org. That's gesseminary.org. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So stop by and get a free subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, do good works prove that we are justified? And what is the meaning of final salvation? I hope you'll join us. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.